The worst kind of pain is soul pain. That's the kind of pain you don't even know why you're in pain. You don't even know why you do what you do. That soul pain is always related to your identity. If you don't know who you are as a woman, if you don't know who you are as a man, you will be manipulated by the disapproval of other people the rest of your life. And you'll find yourself backing down because you don't know who you are.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called The Miracle of Mercy. In this series, Rick looks at how the mercy of God touches every aspect of our lives and the lives of those around us. In a few minutes, we're going to let you know how you can get the DVD study kit for this series. It's perfect for your personal Bible study time or your small group. So stay with us and find out how you can get yours. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called God's Mercy and My Failures.
Because we are an imperfect people and we live in an imperfect world, we all experience failures in life. And the night that Jesus Christ was arrested and before he went to the cross, two of his best friends had massive failures. Massive failures. Judas had the failure of betrayal, and Peter had the failure of denial. Now, they're actually the exact same sin. They both denied Christ, but they are just different expressions of it. And Judas rejected the mercy of God and later went out and killed himself, took his life. Peter accepted the mercy of God and later went out and became the leader of the church. What I want us to do this weekend is look at God's mercy and your failures. And I want us to learn some lessons from the life of Peter and this massive failure that he had. And I want us to ask three questions. First, what causes personal failure in your life? And we're going to look and actually see that three things that Peter had in his life are the three most common causes of failure in your life. Financial failure, business failure, marriage failure, relational failure, and all the other areas of failure are caused primarily by three things. There are many other ones, but these are the three biggest ones. And then we're going to look at not only what Peter did wrong, but what he did right. And how do you recover? What does God want you to do when you've had a failure in your life? And then, most important of all, we're going to look at how does Jesus respond to our failures and how he shows us mercy. So let's get right into it. First, what causes our personal failure? Three things that Peter did wrong. And the first thing, if you're right, taking notes, is this: we overestimate our strengths. This is a big cause of failure in your life. When you think that you're stronger than you really are, you think you can handle more, and you can think you can handle temptation. The story begins in Matthew chapter 26. Now, they just had the Last Supper, where Jesus said, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life, and I'll meet you in Galilee after that. And in verse 31 of Matthew 26, Jesus says this to the disciples. Jesus said, tonight, every one of you will desert me. Talking to the 12, it's his small group that's been with him for 3.5 years. Every one of you will desert me, for the scripture says that when the shepherd is killed, the sheep will be scattered. But after I've been raised from the dead, this is in 3 days, I will go ahead of you to Galilee, and I'll meet you there. Then Peter boasted, but Lord, even if everyone else fails you, I will never deny you. Jesus replied, Peter, the truth is that before this night is over and before the rooster crows at dawn, you will deny knowing me 3 times. Peter insisted, but Lord, I would never do that. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny knowing you. And all the other disciples vowed the same thing. They all made the same, you may have never seen that, but they all said, we would never do this, Lord. Jesus said, you're going to do it tonight. He said, when they take me, arrest me, you're going to fall to pieces. You can count on it. Now notice, 3 times Peter says, I'll never deny you, I would never do that, and I would never deny knowing you at all, ever. This is overestimating our strengths. A lot of businesses fail from overestimating their strengths. A lot of battles are lost because armies overestimated their strength. A lot of people, students, flunk out of school because they overestimated their strengths. A lot of spouses fall into affairs because they overestimated their strength. I can handle this. It's just a harmless little office flirt. There's nothing going to happen from it. I can handle this. Beware of thinking this could never happen to me. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says this. If you think, I'm strong, I can handle this, I'd never fall for that temptation, then be careful, for you could easily fall too. The Bible says one of the reasons we have so many failures in our lives is because we think we're stronger than we really are. Don't be naive. Don't be self-confident. None of us are exempt. Given the right situation, I am capable of any sin. So are you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
One of the major themes revealed throughout the Bible is mercy. God's mercy heals broken hearts, reconciles relationships, restores forgotten dreams, and refreshes tired souls. Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Miracle of Mercy Study Kit by Rick Warren, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook. It's perfect for your solo or small group study time and is sure to be the cure for every insecurity, worry, and fear in your life. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says this. If you think, I'm strong, I can handle this, I'd never fall for that temptation, then be careful, for you could easily fall too. The Bible says one of the reasons we have so many failures in our lives is because we think we're stronger than we really are. He says, don't be naive. Don't be self-confident. None of us are exempt. Given the right situation, I am capable of any sin. And so are you. Given the right situation, you are capable of any sin, and so am I. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful, and we should stop kidding ourselves. Now, I don't have time to go into this in detail, but not only do we have failures in our life because we overestimate our strengths, but also we misuse our strengths. You see, you tend to guard your weaknesses. You know what you're weak at. You know what you're weak at. So you go, well, I got to stay away from that because I'm weak at that. But you don't pay any attention to your strengths. And when you don't pay attention to your strengths, they become weaknesses too. In fact, write this down. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. The very area you think, man, there's no way I'd mess up on that, you're setting yourself up, the Bible says, for failure. There's a sense of pride there. The very area you may have just had a major victory may be exactly where you stumble next. You know, sometimes it's after a big success that then you have the failure. Sometimes it's after you've been through a very strong spiritual crisis and you came out of it and you actually made it that you let your guard down. Jesus was tempted in the desert immediately after his baptism, which was a big experience. Peter had his biggest failure, denying Christ, right after the Last Supper, which was a very intimate, important, powerful experience. So never presume that you know where temptation is going to come from. We overestimate our strengths. Second reason we fail, this one's even bigger. We fear the disapproval of others. You may not realize it, but this causes more problems in your life than almost anything else. We fear the disapproval of other people. Every time you make a decision based on what other people would think, you are sowing the seeds for failure in your life. Because when you worry about what will other people think, when you fear disapproval, you go with the flow even when you know it's the wrong thing. You go with the flow because you know go along to get along, and you become a people pleaser and you become a coward and you make commitments that you can't possibly keep simply because you're trying to make everybody happy. Now we see this as the second reason Peter stumbled in his denials in Matthew chapter 26 verse 58 and 69 and 70. The Bible says this: after they had left the Last Supper in the upper room, Peter followed Jesus at a distance. Now, there's a problem right there. That's a major problem, following Jesus at a distance. But he followed Jesus at a distance to the courtyard of the high priest's palace, and he went in and he sat down with the guards, the Roman guards, to see what was going to happen to Jesus. He's being arrested. He's going to be tortured. Peter wants to know what's going on. As Peter was sitting in the courtyard, a servant girl came up to him and said, I recognize you. You were with Jesus of Galilee, weren't you? But standing there in front of everyone, now that's the operational phrase, standing there in front of everyone, Peter denied it. I don't even know what you're talking about, he said. Now think about this. Peter has just spent 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's lived with him for 3.5 years. And the first time the rubber hits the road, he's in the clinch. He's in the crisis. He denies him. He says, I don't even know what you're talking about. He's more worried about what other people think than he is about identifying with Christ. How many times have you had the opportunity to admit you were a Christian at work or somewhere else, and you said nothing because you were worried about what other people think? And this thing actually happens in our life all the time, not just with witnessing about our faith, but in so many areas, you stumble and you have failures because you are thinking more about what somebody else thinks than about what God thinks. He said, I don't even know the person. Now, Peter struggled with people-pleasing his entire life. I could give you many examples in his life. One time, Paul had to actually rebuke him and said, hey, Peter, you know, you're acting this way with this group over here and you act this way with this group over here. You're trying to please everybody. You can't do that. Before we go on, let me just ask you consider some questions. Personally, are you following Jesus at a distance? You say, you know, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I just don't want to get too close to him. I don't want to be a radical. I don't want to be a nutcase. I don't want to be a fanatic. I want to follow Jesus at a distance. That is a setup for failure. It's trying to have a foot in both worlds. It doesn't work that way. The Bible tells us that Peter was just sitting around waiting for something to happen. Do you find yourself doing that, sitting around waiting for something to happen? That's a setup for failure in your life. And then Peter was worried about what other people thought. Let me ask you this. Whose opinion matters to you more than God's? Whose opinion matters to you more than God's? And you're more worried about what they think than doing the right thing or saying the right thing. When you let anybody else be more important than God in your life, they become your God. And that's called an idol. And that's a setup for failure. More important even than that of whose opinion matters to you more than God is this question. Have you ever asked yourself why the opinions of other people matter so much to you? Have you ever even asked yourself that? Why you cringe at any criticism? Why you hate it so much? Why it just turns your stomach in a knot if somebody disagrees with you? Have you ever asked yourself, why am I such a coward when it comes to being different? Why do other people's opinion matter to me so very, very much that I'll even do the wrong thing in order to please somebody maybe I don't even like? Have you even asked yourself why that happens? Why it matters to you so much? Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. I say the unexamined life is a setup for failure. Because the part of me that causes me the most trouble is the part of me that I don't know about. And when I live in denial of an area of my life, I don't know why I do what I do. If I'm in the dark about why I do what I do, I'm never gonna grow out of it. I'm gonna be stuck in that rut the rest of my life. And the same thing is true with you. The part of you that causes you the most problem are the parts of you you're afraid to look at. the parts of you that you are in denial about, the parts of you of why you act the way, and you maybe even never even asked, why am I so controlled by the opinions of other people? Why is it that I can't handle the disapproval of anybody else? It just makes me sick. It upsets me. I'll do almost anything to avoid somebody disapproving of me. Why does that matter so much? Until you figure that out, you're going to keep stumbling and stumbling and falling and failing in that area. Now, the answer is the reason why you're worried about the fear of disapproval is there's always a wound behind that. A hidden wound is always behind the fear of the disapproval of other people. There's something that triggers in your mind that fear. And maybe it was a rejection in the past. Maybe it was an unmet need that you had growing up. Maybe it was some hurt. Maybe it was a trauma that happened in your life, a pain or an injury. As I said, some kind of unmet need, but there's some pain, and it's a deep pain, and it's so deep it's hidden in you. I call it soul pain. The worst kind of pain is soul pain. That's the kind of pain you don't even know why you're in pain. You don't even know why you do what you do. That soul pain is always related to your identity. If you don't know who you are as a woman, if you don't know who you are as a man, you will be manipulated by the disapproval of other people the rest of your life. And you'll find yourself backing down when people say, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, you know. And you won't stand up for what you believe, and you won't do the thing that's right because you don't know who you are. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, it is a dangerous trap to be concerned with what others think of you. But if you trust the Lord, you will be safe. He said, I'm already a goner. I've already fallen into the trap. If I'm more worried about what other people think than doing the right thing or what God says is the right thing to do or say or think or feel. Peter overestimated his strength. I would never do this. It'll never happen to me. I can handle this temptation. I know what I'm doing. I'm an adult. I can watch these kind of things and it doesn't bother me. Who are you kidding? I can go to these kind of places and it doesn't bother me. Who are you kidding? I can listen to this kind of stuff and it doesn't bother me. Who are you kidding? We all worry about air pollution, but you ought to worry about mind pollution, the stuff you allow in your brain. Garbage in, garbage out. When we think you're strong and you're not, when you're worried about the approval of other people, you're gonna have failures in your life. And then there's a third one that we see in Peter's life, and this one's the biggest of all. We fail, one of the causes of personal failure is we speak without thinking. Hello? This may be the most common cause of all failure in your life. We put our mouth in motion before we put our mind in gear. And we speak impulsively, and we speak rashly, and we speak in haste, and we speak thoughtlessly. And we don't pause to consider the damage of what we're about to say, what it's going to do in the lives of other people or even in our own lives. And we just speak impulsively, and the true reason is we don't think rationally, we think emotionally. Most of the time when you talk, you're not thinking about what you're talking about. You're not thinking rationally. You're not thinking, what's the unintended consequence of what I'm about to say? You're never stopping to say, Lord, do you want me to say this? You're not asking God, is this the right thing to say at the right time, in the right way? No, you just say whatever you feel. People say, well, I just say whatever I feel, as if that's a mark of courage. No, that's a mark of immaturity. Children do that. They say whatever they feel. Adults need to learn to have a governor on their mouth. And so when you feel envy, you speak in envy. And when you feel jealousy, you speak in jealousy. And when you feel insecure, you say things that reveal your insecurity. And when you're frustrated and when you're angry, you say things in anger. And when you're afraid, you say things in fear, not even thinking about the consequences. The reason why we have so many failures in our life is because we speak without thinking. We let our emotions get in gear, and that's what happened here with Peter. Peter's clearly nervous, he's uptight, he's fearful. Now just think the crisis that's going on. Jesus Christ has been arrested. He's back behind this wall going through mock trials and being tortured. And I, Peter, am on the other side of the wall out in the courtyard wondering what's going on. And then all of a sudden a stranger comes up and says, hey, you're with that guy. And he says, no, I'm not. He's worried about what other people think. And now his anger comes out. And the Bible says this in verse 71 of Matthew 26. Then Peter went out to the entrance of the courtyard, and there another woman saw him and said to those standing there, this guy pointing at Peter, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Now again, Peter denied it. And this time he swore, okay, now he's cussing. He swore an oath and said, I don't even know the man. Okay, but after a while, it says, the men who had been standing there, evidently a bunch of people milling around, just bystanders, the men who were standing there came over to Peter and said, we know that you are one of them. Don't you hate being called one of them? That's like the kiss of death at the office. You're one of them. We all want to be one of us. We all want to be one of the in crowd. And one of the reasons why you never talk about your faith to anybody else is because you don't want to be one of them. You want to be one of us, one of the guys, one of the boys, one of the girls. And he said, hey, we know you're one of them. Again, that's the fear of disapproval. Okay? Peter's getting uptight here. We know that you're one of them because your Galilean accent gives you away. Now, Jesus was from Galilee. The 12 disciples in his small group were all from Galilee. So the accent gave him away. Just like in America, in the South, people from the South have a Southern accent. People from the North have a Northeastern accent. People from the Midwest have a Midwestern accent. Only Californians speak English perfectly. Okay. The Canadians speak with a Canadian accent. Okay. The Australians and the Brits, you know, we are three nations united by a common language, which we don't even understand each other saying. And so he said, we understand, we know who you are. You're one of them because you have the Galilean accent. It gives you away. It says, Peter, the Bible says, Peter lost his temper and started cursing and swearing. And he shouted, I don't know the man. And immediately he heard the rooster crow. Now, swearing is always a sign of frustration. Swearing is always a sign of fear. When you get afraid, you go emotional. And you're not thinking rational. You're not thinking logical. You're not thinking reasonable. You're thinking emotional. And when people swear, it's because they've given up on their logic and they have to resort to emotion. He's not thinking. He's speaking without thinking.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. If you'd like to have these powerful Miracle of Mercy lessons on video, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook, then be sure to request the Miracle of Mercy study kit when you contact us. This is a great way to go deeper in your study of God's Word. It's perfect for both personal and small group study time, and it's yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Google+ or Instagram. By the way, I'm on all of these, and you can follow me on any of these. Let me know what you think of this broadcast. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website, PastorRick.com. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.